This past week at Camp Niati, several of us from Bethel and a lot of the campers from Bethel went for for mini camp, started last Friday week, went through Sunday about this time, and then full camp from Sunday afternoon all the way to Friday. A lot of statements were made by campers and counselors through the week. And in the summertime, you have what we call special events or special times. Like June at Bethel, we have Vacation Bible School about the first week of June, every day for all ages, all class ages. And then, of course, July tends to be our focus on Bible camp. And of course, this past June also is a trip of a Vacation Bible School to Whiteville, North Carolina. And then a couple of weeks, we're going to have our gospel meeting in the first Sunday beginning in August. And you think about high points in the life of congregations year after year after year, like April and August gospel meetings. And you have vacation Bible schools, and you have Bible camp, and you can have men's days and families days and all of what goes with that. And I was thinking about a lot of the statements that were made this past week, just sort of sitting back and listening to what other people were saying. And you sort of get an emotional high in these particular events. And years ago, I was talking with a preacher of a local congregation up in Tennessee, and he says, you know, if we don't keep having these events to keep our people excited about different events, it's almost like everybody just goes into the doldrums. And so you keep having to have what he calls special Sundays and special this and special that in order to have people look forward to something. And I thought, well, that seems to be a sad commentary on our people if that's the case. And I'm not saying that that's the case. But if it is that we have to have certain events like that to really get us motivated, isn't God enough to motivate us? So I invite your attention today to a section of passages in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. From chapter 6 verse 14 to chapter 7 in verse 1, because chapter 7 verse 1 is actually the conclusion to this paragraph. The Corinthians were being drawn back into idolatry. Some of them, being new converts, knew what idolatry was. That's what they grew up with. That's how they lived most of their lives. Now that they'd been converted to Jesus Christ, what you find is that Paul had to make some points to them about, while now you have joined hands, as it were, with God, God is your God and you are his children, why is it that you want to be tied back here to idolatry at the same time? It's like we're not giving up on God and leaving God to go to idolatry. We just want the best, so to speak, of both worlds, which is not the best of both worlds because this world is not the best, the idolatrous side. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, what you find is, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then he asks a series of questions. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God, the temple of God with idols? He says, for you are the temple of the living God. For God has said, I will be with them and will walk with them or among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be as sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Now, chapter 7, verse 1, the conclusion of the point. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, before he makes the statement in chapter 7, verse 1 of the command, let us all, as it were, seeing that we have these promises found in that section, as God has said, I will be their God, I will walk among them, be among them, I will be their God, they will be my people. He says, seeing all that's true, let's not follow anything associated with fleshly defilement, which, by the way, idolatry was absolutely nasty in all its forms. And then on top of that, it created a spiritual defilement, a defilement of the heart, a defilement of the soul. And therefore, to perfect, to complete holy living in the respect, the fear of God. In that comment says, you are the temple of the living God, that God is with you, he walks in you, he's your God, you're his people. That's a statement quoted out of the Old Testament, now drawn into the New Testament to point out the fact what God promised that one day he would do is now a reality in the church. That's a reality in the church. So I call this lesson today God's special place on earth. God's special place on earth. And back to Camp Nayadi last week. Had all kind of people, there's sort of a buzz phrase that went among some of the kids. They called it their happy place. Their happy place. What is your happy place? Where is the place that you can go in this area or in this world that to you it's like I've got away from everything and I've now come to my happy place? And a lot of those kids said camp. Look forward to camp. Matter of fact, a lot of the kids that probably, as we say, grandfathered out of camp probably say, I can remember the good memories, the great times that I had at camp. This is like you get here and it's almost like you can really be spiritually minded. You're around spiritually minded people. You're sort of segregated, as it were, from the world, so to speak. And it is a situation in which it can happen. But by the way, we can't stay at camp forever, can we? You got to come home. Got to come back to, sometimes we say, the real world. Though camp is world, it is the real world. That happy place. Heard a person this past week say that camp was this place that brought peace. You can get away from this and this and this. You can come here and you can have peace. Well, when you get away from camp and you come back to the real world, is there no peace? Is there no peace of life when you come back home? By the way, I enjoyed sleeping in my bed Friday night and last night. Trust me. Enjoyed that immensely. Matter of fact, I enjoyed my recliner sleeping in it on Friday afternoon. There's parts of camp that really, really, really are likable. And there are parts of it, the older you get, the more you realize, what in the world are you doing to yourself? But the assembly, the church. There's several things that you'll find in the Bible. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Note that phrase, in Christ. If you move from there to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 22, Paul says of the churches of Galatia, in particular those in Judea, I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. So to be in the church is to be in Christ. And to be in Christ is to be where all spiritual blessings are found. When you come to Acts 2:47, you will find, praising God, having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church, there's in Christ, added to the church daily such as should or were being saved. So all spiritual blessings in Christ, to be in the church is to be in Christ, the church and the saved are one and the same. So what are we looking at when we look at the eternal plan of God in Ephesians 3 verses 10 and 11? It talks about how that to the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, or literally through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, God had in mind before he said, let there be light, the church. You had to create the world in order for the kingdom to come into this world. And by the way, when the Lord burns up the heavens and the earth and all the elements therein, there ain't going to be one thing on this planet that's still going to exist, because that's when the kingdom will be delivered to the Father. God only had one thing in mind when he made this planet and this universe, and that's the church. That's what he had in mind. And so all spiritual blessings are in Christ. To be in the church is to be in Christ. To be in the church is to be in the saved, and that was the eternal purpose of God. So the question is, on this earth, where is God's special place? Now I know camp's special. And I know vacation Bible schools and mission trips away and things along. I know those are special, but technically, where on this earth is not our special place, where is God's special place? I will be with them and walk in them. Why is it so that the church is so special? Well, let me give you three reasons. One is, and I heard this last week a lot, this is a place where you find enjoyment. It's enjoyable here. You might use the word fun, because by the way, a lot of people look forward to that. A lot of campers were even anticipating that. As a matter of fact, we had 8 young people this past season or last week. This last week was their last year as a camper. I would say probably to most of those 8 that went their last year to camp, that's not your last year at camp. As a matter of fact, I said that to one particular person. I said, you know, this is not your last year at camp. It's just your last year as a camper. Now you'll end up back down here as a counselor. I remember hearing Lauren Conklin when she was up giving the Belinda Gossett Award. She was talking about these people in the white shirts, because that's generally what you wear on Sunday and on Friday at the awards. The people had the counselor shirts. And I walked up to, I think it was Ethan. I said, Ethan, you know one day you're going to have a white shirt. By the way, they're all just crying crocodile tears. They're just all just weeping like babies, you know, that have been hurt. And I thought, you know this isn't your last year at camp. And by the way, Ethan was already a mini camp counselor down here. He said, it's a lot different. It's a lot different when you're a counselor than when you're just a camper. Well, you get a taste of responsibility. Now you get to apply. You get to apply what now you've tried to been taught all this time. If it sticks, hey, now go teach it to somebody else. Go share it with somebody else. Go live it out in front of somebody else. Because as the old adage goes, the old gray beards aren't going to be there forever. Sometimes you just get old before your time and you have to leave. And sometimes it is you die before it comes your time to, as we say, take your step out into retirement, so to speak. Enjoyable. They talk about the devos and they talk about the time together and they talk about all the activities together being enjoyable. By the way, is the assembly on Sunday morning enjoyable to you? David said in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. What were they going to do? Going to camp out? No, they weren't going to camp out. They were just going to worship. In Psalm 27 and verse 4, David emphasized the fact, one thing have I asked of you, one thing do not deny me, that I may dwell in the beauties of holiness and inquire at your temple. In other words, why did David go to the temple? He went there, by the way, referring to the temple in heaven, because the tabernacle is all David had set up. Solomon later builds the temple. But David went before God's temple, the temple in heaven, by going to the assembly to worship, that I might gain information from God. Why? Because it is not in man that walks to direct his steps. You remember when Elijah and Moses showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and all of a sudden Peter makes this statement, Lord, it is what? Good for us to be here. By the way, what did he want to do? Let's build some structures. Let's make, as it were, some places up here on the mountain where we all can just, by the way, there were tents, right? That meant we're going to camp. We're going to camp out up here on the mount of what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. One for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. By the way, do you realize that in your physical body, your body is a tent that we've all been camping the whole time? We're talking about, I'm going toward Canaan's happy land. By the way, the idea is that's a permanent dwelling. Right now, we're just camping. We're all in tents. One day we're going to fold up our tabernacle and we're going to our home not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. Every day we live is a pilgrimage. We're strangers and pilgrims. This world isn't our home. We're going to our real home. Well, what am I going to do when I get to my real home? I'm going to enjoy it. By the way, I'm going to enjoy it down here because I'm going to be at the place where God is, and where God is where his people are. Enjoyable. I was thinking when a lot of people were talking about how much they enjoyed camp and how much they would miss it when they got back home, and I'm like, well, it's fun to a degree in certain areas, yeah. Why can't you have the experience of camp every week? Why can't you have that high every week? It seems to me sometimes we may compartmentalize certain things and not realize this is a privilege to worship. And not just a privilege, it is something to really be enjoyed. You know, Brother Kenny Chaney stands up here and leads a song to the best of his ability, and you're singing out. I sat there and I thought, you know, if you just shut your eyes and imagine you're in heaven, this is probably what it's going to sound like, at least in English, right? Just shut your eyes. I can remember being at Freed Hardeman in chapel, particularly when it was in Bader Gym, to where if you sang, it was so loud in there, you couldn't hear anybody hardly but yourself in view of the fact that if you sang at all, everybody sang because everybody got drowned out whether you sang loud or not. And I thought if I just shut my eyes and sang that song, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded," sang that a lot. "How shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin?" We sang that a lot. They built Clayton Chapel at Freed Hardeman long after I was gone, but I hear that kids go to Clayton Chapel and they're just going there to sing. There's not a pew in that building. Not a pew in it. It's just an empty shell of a building with floors. And listen, and kids go in there voluntarily and sit on the floor. Sit on the floor and for an hour sing what are songs or what we might call camp songs or devotional songs. Why do kids take time out of their lives? Don't they have tests? Don't they have papers? Don't they have something to need to be doing? But this is our happy place. This is the place where we go to get our batteries recharged. Another area, as far as this special place that God has on earth, not only is it enjoyable, it's encouraging. Encouraging. I remember when I was a teenager at Bremen, Georgia, and there was a brother who taught our Sunday class. Matter of fact, he taught our Wednesday night class. Brother Ralph Braswell. And sometimes teenagers don't actually pay attention in class. As a matter of fact, sometimes not only do they not pay attention, they make it rough on the teacher. And we did. We did. And I remember one night on a Wednesday night, Brother Ralph Braswell saw that we could, you know, give a flip about what really he was talking about, though it was from the Bible. And so he just stopped. He says, "Fellows, let me ask you something." And by the way, when he stopped, that got our attention because we thought he's just going to keep on with a lesson, you know, turn to page such and such and book, chapter, and verse such and such. He said, "Why are y'all here tonight?" Now, of course, nobody said anything. He said, "Well, let me explain why I'm here tonight." And I thought, well, you're here tonight because the elders told you use the Wednesday night teenage Bible class teacher. That's why you're here tonight. Of course, that's a smart aleck teenager, isn't it? That's what I thought. Here's what he said. Brother Braswell worked for Hubbard Slacks in Bremen, Georgia. He had 100 women under him, each woman with a sewing machine, to make pockets to put in men's pants. And all 100 of those women had to make a quota of pockets for men's pants every day. There's a certain number of pockets each one of these women had to sew every day to meet just the standard of their daily quota. That was their job. They had to meet their quota. Now, Brother Ralph Braswell's job was if any or all of those sewing machines broke down, it was his responsibility to instantly get up and go fix it. That was his job. He was a sewing machine repairman for Hubbard Slacks. My brother Ralph said, "Fellas, I've had a hard day here, and you're not making it any easier. Says, I've had a couple of women just read me my pedigree, read me my right egg, give me the right egg. When their machine broke down and I didn't fix it quick enough and they had to make quota, and they thought I ought to be able to fix it in 5 seconds and put them right back into the spinning wheel. And I couldn't get it done that quick. As a matter of fact, I couldn't get it done in less than 30 minutes to an hour, which really put them behind. Says, and they blame me for it. The machine breaks down. You should have made sure you fixed it last time, kept it in maintenance order to where it wouldn't break down so that I could do what I do. And you can just basically sit back and wait till we all leave and then fix everybody's machine. He says, but sometimes you can't do that. Says, I've had 100 women breathing fire down my neck sometimes, almost on any day of the week. I never know what's going to happen from day to day to day. He says, and I came here to this Bible class tonight. I'm exhausted. I came here to get my batteries recharged. I can come here to this building and I can come here and sing songs and I can come here and pray with God's people and I can come here and study the Bible with you and I don't have to hear 100 women breathing down my neck. Now, fellas, this is where I come to get encouragement before I have to go back to the world on Thursday and have it taken out of me. Now, you may not understand a word I'm saying, young men, young ladies, but trust me, the day is going to come if you grow up in a world like I'm growing up, that you're going to need the church. You're going to need Bible classes. You're going to need the prayer of brothers and sisters in Christ, and you're definitely going to get something out of a song service. This is your special place to get away from the world. Now, some of you young people may not understand what he's talking about. I didn't at that age. I do now. I will never, ever forget the speech Ralph Braswell gave us that night in that teenage Bible class on Wednesday night. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Do you know what that word exhort means? Hebrews 10:25. Exhort means to encourage. The assembly is a place where you get encouragement from one another. Exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Think about all the kind of situations that are in this room. What are you going through in life? What are you facing? What are you facing on your job? What are you facing at home? What are you facing in your neighborhood? What are we facing in our country? What are we facing in our world? And where can you go to find some answers? Where can you go to be among people that are going to encourage you? And God had an answer for that. It's called the church. That's where God is. That's where he walks. That's where I will be their God and they shall be my children. Don't get attached to the things out here in this world. Come out from among them and be you separate. Touch not the unclean thing. And I'll be a father unto you. You'll be my sons and my daughters. And I'll receive you, says the Lord Almighty. And Paul said, that promise made in the Old Testament is a reality right now. Encouragement. I'm fairly certain today that when Craig Ledbetter stood here a few minutes ago and prayed for Mariah Hatfield, she got some strength from that. I'm pretty sure Mark did. I'm pretty sure Sharon did. I'm pretty sure all the family did. What would it have been like if they'd not been here? Oh, Craig was going to pray anyway. Craig would have mentioned Mariah. I've often thought about the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, all the apostles were in the Garden of Gethsemane the night Jesus was praying before he was crucified the next day. And Jesus took Peter, James, and John a little further and told them to watch. Told them to watch, right? Basically stay awake like a guard. And Jesus went about a stone's throw further, and he fell down and he started praying. By the way, what's Peter, James, and John doing? Whole time Jesus is over there praying, what's Peter, James, and John doing? They're asleep. Can you imagine what Peter, James, and John could have learned by listening to Jesus pray that night? By the way, you and I know what Jesus prayed that night, right? If it had not been for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's account, did you know that Peter, James, and John and the other disciples would not have known what Jesus prayed at all? You know why? Either they were not close enough to hear, or the three that were close enough to hear all were asleep. So in the Bible, if they read it, this is what he was praying while we were asleep. Now, I'm not throwing off on anybody on medication or has got jet lag from a long trip or something, but let me tell you something. Folks do go to sleep in church buildings. They do. And there's encouragement in that. Now, they don't go to sleep at football games. They don't go to sleep playing Pokemon Go. But when it comes to what you really need and what I really need, behold what a weariness it is. Malachi 1:13. Why is the church God's special place on earth? It's a place to be enjoyed. It's a place to be encouraged. Number three, it's a place to be effective in your life and to be affected by the influences that you have around you, both physically of people and also spiritually of the very things we're talking about here in God's Word, in the singing, in the prayers. Effective. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, "For this cause thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word which you heard of us, you received it not as it were the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." Watch this. "Which effectually works." This works. "Effectually works in you that believe." In Hebrews 5 verse 14, it talks about those that are of full age, you know, have this meat, having applied it to their senses. And all of that has to do with an effectiveness based on what? Based upon the fact of those that are exercised thereby. In other words, put this food into your spiritual body. Exercise what you're doing in here. And trust me, it'll make you feel better. It'll help you physically. It does apply physically. It'll help you emotionally. It'll help you mentally. There is no question what it does to your soul. Man doesn't live by bread only. Oh yeah, we're going to have a meal today and tonight. But man don't live by bread only. He lives by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what's effective. Now, just out of your own knowledge, think about people who are regular attenders of services of God's people. Question: are they weak members or are they strong members? Well, if they're attending regularly, we'd have to call them strong, right? Now, I'm not saying people that come all the time, they don't have weaknesses. That's not the point. The point is, am I contributing to my strength by being here? Nobody's put a gun to your head to tell you to be here. Evidently, you came either of your own accord as an adult, or you came with somebody who basically is still, you're under them, living in their house, their influence, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, all of us want to attend the assemblies because this is where God is. And that's what makes it his special place on earth. If we all went somewhere like Joe Wheeler to a pavilion and we sat around and we sang and we prayed and we had a devo, that's where God is. He is among his people. He is with his people. Oh, I know God's all over the universe. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Everything associated with the universe, God's presence. But there is a special place on earth where God is. And that's where God's people come together. It's not that easy necessarily for us to think about that all the time. Distractions. Distractions. Trust me. I've been watching all of y'all the whole time I've been up here preaching. There have been some distractions in this room. I'm not going to call your name. In a room this size, as many people as are in this room, is it easy to be distracted? Why is the first day of the week a special time to you? Vacation Bible school, Bible camp, gospel meeting, friend and family day, men's retreat, ladies' day. Why can't all Sundays be like that? Now, there are a lot of young people that have come off a high, high emotional high last week. And now we're right back to what we're familiar, right? Back in the same auditorium, same time frame. Had a little bit of sleep over the weekend now. Got our mind sort of rejuvenated. Singing the same old songs. Hearing the same old prayers. Going to take the same old Lord's Supper. Going to look at the same old man's face trying to quote verses. We're going to have a closing prayer. We're going to go home. Is that the way you feel about worship services? Listen. Personally, there are a lot of occupations I could have chosen in life. I did want to be a medical doctor. I'm serious. I really, really did. But I chose to do this job. And I do get a lot out of it. And if there ever come a time when I retire from pulpit preaching, that doesn't mean I'll quit preaching. But if there ever come a time when I retire from pulpit preaching, regardless of where I am, when I'm sitting in a pew listening to the preaching of the Word of God and singing in that pew, the song leader, bowing my head while somebody like a Brother Craig Ledbetter or anybody stands up here and leads that prayer, and my mind goes back to the cross of Jesus Christ, and I think about His death, the shedding of His blood, and what that means to me. Right here is my happy place. I don't have to go to camp. I don't have to have a vacation Bible school. I don't have to have a gospel meeting. I don't have to have a friends and family's day. I don't have to have a men's day. I obviously don't go to a ladies' day. I don't have to have any of those special events. Every first day of the week is special to me. You see, we have what we choose to have. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not throwing off on VBS or camp or meeting. I'm not throwing off on that. Let me tell you something. Every service is special because God's here. And wherever God is, that makes life special. If you're outside of the fellowship of God Almighty and God's people, believe that Christ is the Son of God, turn away from a life of sin, the godly sorrow that works repentance unto your salvation, 2 Corinthians 7:10, confess the faith you have in Jesus Christ as the eunuch did, I believe with all my heart Jesus Christ the Son of God. Crucify now that old man, be converted. And now change your relationship with God. Arise to walk in a new life out of that watery grave. Be buried with your Lord in baptism. Rise with your Lord in the likeness of His resurrection. And let the Lord then add you to the church, the great household of God. And take of that Lord's Supper and let that redemption that Christ died for you now, having applied it to your soul, in remembrance every first day of the week to realize how grateful you and I should be for the ultimate sacrifice for the world. if you need to come back home, this is still a special place. The prodigal son knew when he went back home what home really meant. He'd been out there in the world. He'd tried it all. He found out the world's not what it cracked up to be. I will arise and I will go to my father. By the way, your father is in this room. Oh yeah, his throne's in heaven, he said, but his presence is in this room. The angels in heaven looked down longing to see one come back home. They rejoice in heaven. They enjoy seeing people be restored to their first love. You and I can't hear it. We just hear what we hear down here. But if you want God in your life and everywhere you go to be a happy place, if you're subject to heaven's invitation, will you not then come? All together, we stand and sing.